The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Ray Allen, who Ray is actually helping our fine intern from Navajo land, Rainy Summer. I love her first name, Rainy Summer, and Rainy is at the controls today, taking us on the ride today, and have total confidence in you, Rainy, and it's great to see her on the other side of the glass on this Monday, October 30th, 2017. Going to close out the month of October already and kick off November this week. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts, the complete show archive, all there for you at buckmastershow.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, especially during the first half hour with our Monday political face-off, please feel free to call us at 790-2040. Our Monday political face-off features today commentators John Munger, Mr. Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and Vince Robago is with us, longtime Democratic Party activist, former Arizona attorney general candidate, and the former head of the Hispanic caucus, right? You have turned that role over for the Democratic Party. Who is the local head of the Hispanic caucus?
That is now former Tucson City Councilman Steve Leal.
Oh, okay. All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John and Vince, how was the weekend?
Fabulous weekend. I got to see my new grandson.
How old?
20 days.
20 days? Here in town? Or?
No, over in L.A.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
congratulations there on being a grandfather.
Number eight.
You have eight grandchildren now?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. And Vince, I know you were at the game, and lucky you to see that incredible, the Tate train, we call him. The guy apparently cannot be stopped.
He is a tremendous player, as we were discussing before the show started. He's a dual threat. Very hard for an opposing team to have a quarterback be a dual threat who can run the way he does run, and he's just got a real sense of the field, and he as a quarterback as well, and can throw on the fly, and is just on the run, and he's really a tremendous asset to that team, and a great player.
Yeah, and at 12:30 we'll speak with our sports contributor Anthony Gimeno, and Anthony was posting after the game on Facebook that says, "Hey, listen, if Tate is not in the top five for Heisman, something's wrong."
I mean, well, he's a great player. He's a great player, and I'm very happy for Rich Rodriguez that we have him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had some friends who were staunch ASU fans, and even they were saying that they were looking at Tate as a possible Heisman, and they were supporting that idea. So, so you know, when you got your friends up north of the Gila there in Sun Devil Country
recognizing
that, that's always a good thing.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, the big story of the day, the chairman of Donald Trump's campaign and his deputy have been charged with conspiracy against the United States, money laundering, making false statements. By the way, both gentlemen entered pleas in federal court in Washington today, not guilty pleas. This is part of the wide-ranging investigation into possible collusion between the Russian government and members of the Trump team. John, what's your reaction?
Well, my reaction, it's politically, it's a non-event. It's anticlimactic. Most of the allegations related to Mr. Manafort and his partner, Rick Gates, have to do with periods of time back, frankly, when he was working, was not working with the Trump campaign, and we go way back when he was, frankly, working with the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton on Uranium One and other things. I don't think it has anything to do. I know it doesn't have anything to do with the collusion issue. It doesn't have anything to do with Trump. It's just this guy was not paying his taxes, and he was money laundering through foreign nations and not paying taxes on it and failing to register. So we're cleaning out the swamp, and that's good. I think it's a non-event insofar as politics is concerned. Be interesting to see what further Mueller comes up with. He obviously is investigating way beyond the collusion issues, because this has nothing to do with any collusion allegations. In fact, the big story this week is not Trump collusion. It's the Hillary Clinton collusion and the Democratic National Committee collusion paying foreign government officials, high-ranking officials and Russian spies to come up with what turns out to be false information on Trump. And the issue becomes whether or not that information was used, and we don't know the answer to this, whether that false information was used in order for the FBI, Jim Comey, to obtain subpoenas to wiretap. Meanwhile, of course, the Clinton campaign and the Democrats were screaming about Trump collusion, when in fact it was Hillary Clinton's collusion. It's kind of interesting to note also that, of course, when Mitt Romney said back in the 2012 campaign that the most the worst enemy of the United States was Russia, the Democrats poo-pooed that and laughed about it. ISIS was not on the scene at that time, seriously, and the Democrats didn't take it seriously, and now, of course, they're claiming, oh, Russia is the most awful thing in the world, which it is, but as Mitt Romney said, but they laughed at him then.
All right. Vince, let's hear what you have to say.
Well, couldn't disagree more that this is a political non-event. The reality is...
That's why I have you two guys on. I'm glad you couldn't disagree more. There you go.
Well, no. Let me just say this. Okay. Every criminal case... is on its own sort of four legs, right? The setting of the case, and to the extent that John and other conservatives are saying, well, this is related to conduct that was unrelated directly to the Trump campaign, therefore it's a non-event. That's the talking point that you're going to be hearing, that you have heard. But let me just point out a couple things. And I agree that with respect to this Russia thing, this isn't directly on the Russia aspect. As you know, with the special counsel and prosecutors, they're entitled to investigate whatever they find as they're going along in these investigations. So if it reveals criminal conduct, they go after it.
In other words,
as they should.
Narrowly focused.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Not narrowly focused. So what you see here is the former Trump campaign chairman being indicted for conspiracy against the United States of America. That is in no way a non-event. You have the former Trump campaign chairman being indicted for not registering as an agent for a foreign power, which happened to be a pro-Russia political party in the Ukraine. So you have the campaign chairman being indicted for essentially hiding the fact that he had been representing a pro-Russia political party. And then all the monetary aspects where they were hiding money and setting up a fake intermediary corporation to keep people from finding out about these facts. So, and I mentioned these issues that were happening with Manafort during the campaign, where they were finding out in Russia that he had essentially been paid millions of dollars of illegal campaign money in cash payments that they discovered during the campaign. And then soon thereafter, he left the campaign. But the bigger issue here. So these two gentlemen, Manafort and Gates, in my view, these particular charges are low-hanging, very important fruit with respect to that conduct. But it doesn't mean that they don't have other facts related to other conduct against these people. But the biggest news about all of this that came out is Mr. George Papadopoulos, who was a foreign advisor to the Trump campaign, who they revealed in the course of that just come out, has already pled guilty to lying to federal investigators about his efforts to put Russian Russian actors in contact with the Trump campaign.
He pled guilty.
So there's now a criminal conviction. Let me explain why that's important. You can go ahead and explain. Reason it's so important is because now you have someone who's been cooperating, and you don't know what is the next shoe to drop when you have somebody who has pled guilty. He was a foreign advisor.
Did he plead guilty today to that?
He pled guilty previously.
It's a little complicated, but it's 12:15 and we need to take the break. But John, I promise after the break, you'll be up to plate. All right. Let's take our break. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Frame. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, we talk with Democratic congressional hopeful and CD2, Bruce Wheeler. Also a newsmaker interview with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. He's the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Buckmaster, airing on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening podcasts and our show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday political face-off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We're speaking with John Munger and Vince Robigo about the indictments of Trump's campaign chair and his deputy, both pleading not guilty today. But there was a guilty plea, as Vince was talking about, John, before we had to take the break.
Well, that
there was
is
a guilty plea involving another individual who worked as an unpaid.
Yes, his gentleman's name is Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos is a 28 or 29 year old volunteer, unpaid volunteer, who told the Trump campaign, apparently he had some degrees in Russian affairs, some college degrees, and he purported to be an expert in Russia. So the campaigns are always looking for experts in, you know, all kinds of foreign affairs for foreign affairs purposes. This guy came to the Trump campaign and says, I can put you in touch with some Russian officials. And the Trump campaign said, no, we don't want to talk to Russian officials. And so the FBI questioned this guy about this, and he denied doing it. He lied to the FBI.
Which is a big-time federal offense.
It's a federal offense. You do not lie to the FBI. But the lie to the FBI was by this 29-year-old unpaid campaign worker who had failed to influence the Trump campaign because they didn't want to talk to the Russians, which goes actually in favor of Trump. Getting back to Manafort, Manafort's indictment was related mostly to a period of time when Manafort was working with John Podesta and Tony Podesta, the brothers. John Podesta was the chairman of the Hillary Clinton campaign. They were working during this period of time from 2012 on, way back before Donald Trump became involved in a campaign, on the Uranium One issue, where Hillary participated in the sale of 20% of U.S. Uranium assets to the Russians. John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, Tony Podesta, and Manafort, working for them, were doing that all together. At the same time, Manafort was working for this political party, pro-Russian political party, in the Ukraine. So we've got Manafort, at the same time he's working with Hillary Clinton and John Podesta, her campaign manager, is working for the pro-Russian elements in the Ukraine.
Okay.
And as Vince has said, none of this shows any collusion by Trump with the Russians. In fact, Trump, number one, rejected Papadopoulos's efforts to get him to meet with the Russians. And number two, Manafort was fired back in June or July of 2016 when Trump found out that Manafort had these problems. So Trump fired him.
All right. Vince, you want to add something or then want to go to the
call? Sure, you want to go to the call. Real quickly, just I didn't say that Papadopoulos, that this had nothing to do with the proven collusion. That's the opposite of what I said. I talked with respect to the specific charges against Manafort.
He lied to the FBI.
But the bigger, but you cannot deny that a Trump campaign worker, I don't care his age, his immigration guru, the right wing kid, 31-year-old or 32-year-old Stephen Miller is 32 years old, I believe. So okay. The fact that he's 29 years old or was not paid, he was a member of the Trump campaign, and he lied to federal officials about the fact that he was trying to get Russian information. So what if Trump supposedly rejected? You say
Trump,
that.
It's very important. Trump rejected
collective hive mind denial going on by what I would otherwise consider many responsible Republicans, when in reality, everyone saw Trump throughout the campaign talking directly to the Russians on his campaign speeches, saying, if you got the emails, please find them. People saw this, John. People know that now you got a guy, Manafort, who has now been arrested and charged by a grand jury. Not a political decision for being an unregistered agent for a foreign power for a pro-Russia party.
What Trump said,
I can't believe the hive mind denial.
There were these 30,000 emails that Hillary destroyed after she had been subpoenaed. If you and I destroyed emails after a federal subpoena, we would be in jail.
All right,
she did that, and he's...
Trump is the president of the United States.
We did not know who took where those emails were, and Trump was saying to the Russians, if you have them, let them out.
All right. Carl has been waiting very patiently. Carl, we want to hear what you have to say. Go ahead, please.
Well, other than the fact that I don't like people trying to talk over each other, what about Tony Podesta? He just resigned from his position, apparently as a result of the Manafort indictments. So, you know, you've got a major heavy hitter Democrat in here as well that may be facing some of the same issues.
I didn't hear about that, Carl. That's very important news.
Neither have I. And if somebody else has done something illegal of that level of what Paul Manafort was doing, whether they're Democrat, Libertarian, Republican, they need to be charged.
I agree.
But the bigger issue, again, has to do with you have a collective hive mind denial trying to say, oh, well, look at Hillary Clinton.
Right.
It was not Hillary Clinton who was the president of the United States and who was essentially, look at Jared Kushner. Remember the emails and the meeting that was set up? They were meeting with a Russian lawyer purportedly to work on some sort of policy issue. And there were these emails saying, we've got all this dirt on Hillary Clinton. You had people like Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, and these others saying, that's wonderful. If it breaks in the summer, that's great. So to have this collective hive mind denial when you have pro-Russian agents who have not disclosed that fact, working as the campaign chairman for our current president, and now being indicted for that conduct of having worked for a foreign pro-Russia
party.
While he
was working for Hillary Clinton.
Okay. But she's not president again, John. So you kind of collective hive mind denial. Like, look, squirrel, look over there.
Here we go.
That's what's happening here.
Greg is waiting very patiently. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Bill. You know, years ago when I worked for CBS in Los Angeles in the 70s, it was a time when there were many, many stations which are doing what Doug and Mary are doing with KVOI. It's giving folks the opportunity to be heard, provided they're not interrupted, as Carl said. The reason I'm calling is that the focus on what happened with these gentlemen prior, that's the big word here, prior to going to work for the Trump campaign, that's what's important. What I'd ask both John and Vince right now is the issue with Cheryl Atkinson, who used to be with CBS as well, the issue is she has a suit underway right now against Eric Holder and others in the Barack Obama administration, because Cheryl Atkinson was reporting for CBS on many of the problems and the possible illegal activities of the Obama administration. And at the time she was reporting, she noticed quite a bit of problems with the computer. In fact, they were surveilling her computer. They were getting in and out of the computer. And when I say they, her suit is against Eric Holder, among others, because Obama's Justice Department made Nixon's plumbers look like amateurs.
Okay.
And that, to me, is far more important than any of the stuff that happened with people prior to Trump's campaign.
I agree with you, and good luck to Cheryl Atkinson. She has been forthright and, frankly, neutral. I don't know whether she's a conservative or a liberal. She's just a reporter, and she didn't like the fact that the Obama administration, through Eric Holder, was obviously surveilling her computer, and she sued him for it. And good luck to her in that. Of course, Eric Holder was one of the guys that was held in contempt of Congress, our attorney general, was held in contempt under the Obama administration, contempt to Congress for lying to Congress, and as have others in the Obama administration. But all of this that's talking about Manafort, all of it occurred before Manafort was involved with Trump, all of it. And all of it occurred at the time Manafort was involved, not with Trump, but with John Podesta, Tony Podesta, and the DNC.
Okay, Vince, you're going to get the last word.
Well, the reality, let me back that up, because it's not, and to answer your caller's question, to address it specifically, the issue with Mr. George Papadopoulos did not occur prior to his involvement with the Trump campaign. In fact, those are the bases of it. The fact is that he lied about that. He tried to claim it was prior, but they had the goods on him, and it actually happened after and only because he was a foreign policy with the Trump campaign that these contacts occurred with this professor, and then he went to London and had a meeting with this professor in London. So just to factually address his point, that's not the case with Mr. George Papadopoulos. This was after he was an advisor, and was the only reason they were trying to meet with him was because he was a Trump campaign advisor. So just to correct that, and as far as Manafort, so, you still cannot get around the fact that you have a pro-Russia secret agent, so to speak, not registered agent, who was the Trump campaign chairman. That is not a political non-event.
All right. Out of time. John Munger, Vince Robigo, thank you, gentlemen. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they're on Facebook. Thank you to Moe and his family for the work they do in the community and for their support of our Monday Political Face-Off. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors, reminding all of our listeners that the day after Thanksgiving, traditionally known as Black Friday, everybody's out and about. We'll stop by Green Things at 10 a.m., have a mimosa, and learn all about succulents at a free workshop that's going to be coming up on Black Friday, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Well, the talk of the college football world, of course, Khalil Tate, the Arizona quarterback, four straight weeks of just incredible performances. I want to get more, and let's tap into Anthony Jimeno, our Buckmaster Show contributor on Wildcat Sports. And Anthony, of course, has been a sports journalist in this town for over two decades, covering UA athletics, including football, for the Arizona Daily Star and TucsonCitizen.com. He is the senior editor at Lindy's College Football Annuals. He's co-author of a book on Arizona basketball, 100 Things Arizona Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And he's co-host this season for the Wildcat Basketball pre- and post-game shows on Sports Radio AM 1290. Anthony's latest project, which is doing very well, it's a sports blog, allsportstucson.com. Anthony, how are you?
Doing good. Just trying to get my head around what we've been seeing in the last month.
I know. It's pretty incredible. And I know that you posted on Facebook after the game, you said it would be a crime if the Tate train doesn't make the top five considerations right now for the Heisman.
I really do think that to be true. I do a national column on Sundays that gets distributed via Reuters, and in there I always pick my top five candidates of the week. And I had Khalil tied for fifth. I think there's six really good candidates right now. I couldn't leave any of them off, so I compromised, put him fifth. But, he got a great honor this morning, a very great honor this morning. He was selected one of 18 semifinalists for the Maxwell Award, which is the National Player of the Year Award.
Whoa.
Now, I mean, that includes, that's all the heavy hitters there. And here's a guy who has essentially played in four games. He essentially played the month of October.
Yeah.
And but people are obviously beginning to catch on, a bunch of national writers and stuff like that, that something special is going on here. He's really starting to get a lot of recognition, and it's only going to quadruple this week with a game on ESPN at USC, a battle of two ranked teams, the Pac-12 South lead on the line, all of which would have sounded, which have, if I had said that 5 weeks ago, you would have thought I was a crazy person.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I don't, if you had said that 5 weeks ago, people would have gone, Buckmaster, what are you doing putting this guy on the radio? No, I just don't know if he keeps playing like this. And you see these highlights, it's like the guy doesn't seem to get even touched. He breaks through the line and nobody's even touching him. If he keeps playing like this, other than SC, it may be very hard to stop Arizona the rest of the season.
What they're doing offensively is not complicated. which is good. They have, I think they have kind of simplified the offense to tailor it to Khalil Tate's skills. They're not asking him to make a lot of complex reads or anything. They're running, when you watch them, they're really just running a few formations and a few basic plays with some variations off of that. But it's all very effective, and that's what we saw against Washington State. Washington State and other teams are going to do this. They will do everything in their power to make sure stop Khalil Tate's running game. That's job number one for every defense, which is great. You can try that, and Washington State was pretty successful, especially early in the game. But then if you're watching too much of Khalil Tate, the next thing you know, the tight end's running open down the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Or he's taking deep shots to receivers on the outside, or a guy with the inside handoff is busting right through the middle of the line because everybody else is too worried about Tate. And then eventually the defense, you know, one guy is going to make a misstep, and the next thing you know, there goes Khalil down the field. It's like I said, it's really pretty simple, but hard to defend. And Khalil makes all that go without all the success Arizona's having on offense is because of the threat of Khalil Tate. If you didn't have that, you don't have what we're seeing.
Why did Rich Rod not play him from the beginning? Was he injured?
It's a great question. I mean, a lot of people are still shaking their head about that. I think Rich really wanted to make it a close competition through spring, through fall camp. And I just, you know, I got to put a little bit of that on Khalil, too. I don't think he really stepped up in a huge way in fall camp and made it a really heavy-duty competition. Now, he got a little bit of a shot against NAU, but that wasn't going to change anybody's mind because of the level of competition. Then he got hurt in the second game against Houston. So he missed a couple games after that. He comes back against Colorado, and Rich said the plan was to play him a little bit against Colorado, and that's when Brandon gets hurt on the opening drive or the second drive or something like that, and he's out, and so Khalil comes in, and the rest is what we're seeing. Now, would he have gotten this chance without Brandon's injury? Maybe not. That's a question we may never answer. But I think there are some cases where, first, you do have to give Khalil credit. I think he has improved himself even from the beginning of fall camp or certainly the beginning of spring. He's in better shape. He's more comfortable with the offense. And he just flat out may be one of those guys who's not necessarily a practice player, but a gamer. And it's really very similar to what we saw with Nick Foles' career here.
Oh, yeah.
He was in a battle with a young Matt Scott after he arrived here. And Matt Scott, not by a lot, but was the better practice player. He just was. So Matt Scott started the season and played two and a half games before it looked like the situation at the time was too big for him. So in comes number two, Nick Foles, and boom, he's a gamer and doesn't give up the job for the next 2.5 years. So it could be something similar. Quarterbacks are weird. Quarterbacks are hard to figure. If they're not playing best in practice, how do you let them play in a game?
Yeah, but
on the other hand, how do you not recognize you've seen a lot of Brandon Dawkins? At some point, the coach has to realize, we know what he can do, and it just may not be enough. So I get it. I get both sides of that, some of the criticism on Rich. But, hey, who cares about that now?
You know? I know. And
I had somebody kind of poking fun at me the other day because I was doing some radio for another station in town, and the guy's like, man, you sound like you're such a cheerleader for Arizona. And I'm like, not really a cheerleader, but I've been doing this a long time. I get excited about things I've never seen before. I have never seen somebody do really exactly what he's doing. It's nobody in Arizona history has looked like him, played like him for a month, and the near future and the short-term future, the next couple of years, looks incredibly intriguing, and that's what's exciting.
Did he get, has that been announced yet, the Pac-10 Player of the Week? Has that come down yet? If he got it, that'd be four straight weeks, and I don't think any other player has ever gotten that.
Yeah, it had not yet. Last week, it came out a little after 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be watching carefully. Yeah, I can't find anything on, I looked this morning like on the Pac-12 website to see through their media guide and stuff. I can't see anything that says somebody has won it 4 times in a row.
Well, that is going to be.
But that's what I heard, so I think we both heard the same thing. It would be unbelievable. And like I say, he's getting national recognition, and it may end abruptly if he gets stopped and Arizona loses at USC. But it will go up exponentially if he does something spectacular again and Arizona takes the Pac-12 South lead.
All right. Tonight. I've only got a few seconds. Mm-hmm. Your gut feeling on SC again, on the SC game Saturday?
Well, for the past 3 weeks, I've been using the hot horse theory.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're betting on a hot horse, you keep betting on the hot horse.
Right.
So for that reason alone, I'm going to say Arizona.
Yeah, me too. Anthony Jimena, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Coming up on 12:45 from a train, Tate, who is, it's hard to derail that train right now. We're going to take a segment that is out of this world, coming up with Mark Sykes of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Mark's with us right after this.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card?
From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This presentation of our program comes to you from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Makes a great weekend getaway. I always say it makes a weekend getaway, but there's no reason why you can't go over there in the middle of the week and enjoy a couple of days in a really different environment. Just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Lots to do, hiking, camping. It's a lovely environment. If you're into antiquing, you can explore historic Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us. We're always honored to have Dr. Sykes. He's our monthly contributor on all things space. He's the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute. 45 years here in Tucson as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He's the former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. And we have all sorts of questions for you today, Dr. Sykes. First of all, good to see you.
Great to be here, Bill.
But maybe you can help clear up some of the big mystery now that astronomers have found the solar system's first observed interstellar object. Let's start from the beginning. When did all of this develop?
This happened a week ago. Wednesday, the 18th,
okay,
where astronomers at this observatory in Hawaii called Pan-STARRS detected an unusual object coming in from very high in the sky, you know, the northern part of the sky. And it is the first visitor we have from beyond the solar system. And PSI scientists, along with other scientists around the world, are looking at it as it does a quick trip through the in and out of the solar system. It came in, wasn't very long ago that it did its closest distance to the sun, which was inside of the orbit of Mercury. And but it seems to be a small object, maybe 160 meters in diameter. We don't have an albedo for it yet, so if it's darker, it might be bigger. And it appears to be a point of light. So now if it was a comet and it came in and got that close to the sun, it would be pouring out all kinds of, you know, gas and dust and things like that. But it's not. And so it appears to be a rocky body. And people today that we have scientists yesterday were making ground-based observations of her from the Gemini telescope in South America. And today, a colleague of ours from Hawaii has got the Hubble Space Telescope looking at it. And the people are trying to get spectra of it, you know, to see, which gives us information about composition, because this object formed around another star someplace, and who knows what kind of mineralogy might exhibit. Now, the information we have so far suggests that it's very red. That means it gets brighter at longer wavelengths, at redder wavelengths. And just speaking for myself, that might suggest that it's a carbonaceous object, you know, a dark object whose surface has been processed over, you know, perhaps billions of years by high energy galactic cosmic rays and other things out between the stars.
So we have no idea where this came from, object.
No, it would be it's a visitor, very hard to figure that one
out. It's a visitor to our solar system, and we're not talking here a comet or an asteroid or anything like that.
Well, it's some kind of a small body. It's my guess.
How
is,
small?
It's about 160 meters. So
quarter mile.
Quarter mile.
Pretty small.
It is. And we're very lucky that it was detected. PanSTARRS is doing a survey of the sky, and so it was happened to be looking in the right direction at the right time. It's very faint. And it won't be, and then it, because it's coming by the sun, but then right after perihelion, it was swung to come within about 0.15 AU of the Earth. So let's see, that would be, I gotta get that conversion to miles or something, but it's pretty close. I mean, not close like the moon or anything, but closer than you know Mars is, for instance.
Where is this object now?
It is heading out, and it was estimated to have a kind of a V-infinity, a velocity, as it approached the solar system of about 27 kilometers a second, which is kind of what you'd expect for a random object out there. It's within that kind of a distribution, and it has a hyperbolic orbit. That's how it was determined, you know, that this is something interstellar in origin. Is that you know objects orbit the sun in our solar system in ellipses, you know, these kind of flat curve, flattened circles, and but this thing is like a much more open parabola, you know, it's wider, so it never does come back around, and that was the main clue that this thing was not from our solar system.
So it's basically taking this journey right now. Who knows where it's come from, and our solar system just happened to be on this path through on its journey to wherever.
Yeah, and one of the absolutely many fascinating things about this object is that, you know, as we have discovered thousands of more solar systems around other stars, and we find that those systems look very little like our solar system. Right, you know, it's easy to say, I know this, everything must be like this. Well, our solar system, there's a lot of other things that are very different in terms of the size of planets, arrangement of planets, and things like that. Well, there's a lot of different kind of chemistry and stuff around other stars as well. And so we have the common minerals and common makeup of stuff in our solar system. To what extent is that the same elsewhere, you know, in the galaxy? And so this gives us our very first clue as to what might be out there beyond our own solar system.
As folks know who have listened to our segments with Dr. Sykes, I often say there are no stupid questions when Mark is here, but I've got one for you, and maybe you I don't know, but I'm just wondering, how long does it take for an object like this to make its journey through the solar system?
Well, you know, it probably takes, you know, many months to get from, say, you know, or even a good chunk of a year to get from, say, Pluto's orbit, you know, past and back out through Pluto's orbit again.
I mean, is it safe to say it's been journeying through our solar system for a year maybe or longer?
I'd have to look at the ephemerides. Okay. I can't say, but because it's so small, it's only been very recently that it's been bright enough in the sky. We've been close enough to it to be able to detect it. And as it moves away from us over the next couple of months, it will get fainter and fainter and more difficult to see even with our biggest telescopes.
And, of course, here's another question I'm sure everybody is wondering. What if this object is some kind of like a spaceship or something?
Well, It would do wonders for our funding. Yeah. Know, first of all, that's the first point I'd like to make. How fantastic would that be?
There could be a spaceship that'd be a quarter of a mile in diameter.
Do you remember that book by Arthur C. Clarke called Rendezvous with Rama?
Yeah.
Well, this is Rendezvous with Rama, right? This object comes into the solar system.
Yes.
In fact, on NASA Watch, Keith Cowing was putting up a quote of what people were saying when that was discovered, and then a quote out of the book, and it was very much the same type of a thing. Yeah. Except in that story, the object started to slow down.
Yeah,
and that was kind of a clue that there was something else going on.
Yeah, these folks, if they are on board a spaceship, they've decided they're got another destination.
But I mean, absolutely. Well, absolutely. Nothing could be more exciting.
I mean, it is exciting. It really is. Thank you so much, Mark Sykes with the Planetary Science Institute. And if folks would like to join, it's psi.edu. I think I already sent a check. I've renewed my membership to the Institute, and I strongly suggest folks to do so, not just because they're here in Tucson. That's a good reason, but they are really an economic engine for our community, and they need the support of the community.
Yeah, we're now the largest employer of planetary scientists in the world.
Go. All right. Mark, great to see you. Thank you, sir.
Great to be here, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will be helping out. Is Rainey Summer going to? No, Rainey won't be there helping out. Rainey has been our intern who really did a great job at the controls on the other side of the glass. They first time ever. Don't you love stuff like that? First time ever, Mark? Yep. Anyway, we will see you on behalf of Mark Sykes, Rainey Summer, Ray Allen. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.